y'all was just supposed to get a snippet of that song. Y'all was just supposed to get a small piece of that song. That's it. That's it. But I'm telling you, man, the power and the glory is upon. Man, oh man. Man. Lean on somebody and say, sometimes you just got to get out the way. Sometimes you got to get out the way. God's got an agenda that's bigger than yours. Let me tell you that. God's got an agenda that's bigger than yours. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit presence in this place. Thank you that there is evidence of your glory and your might. Thank you, Lord God, that you are in preparation to do a tremendous, tremendous work among us. Thank you that you are already touching hearts, minds, spirits, and souls. Father, I just decree and declare by the voice of my mouth that lives shall be changed existentially today, Lord God. The dead shall be raised up. The blind shall see again. Those who are sick shall be healed by the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth, Lord God. Now use me, Lord God, in whichever way that you choose to. More of you and less of me. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated actually in the house of the Lord today. I want to deal with a very, very key subject here on this morning, and it is directly connected to those who carry favor. We've been talking about favor for the last number of weeks here in this new series, Living in Favor Every Day. And how many of you would say, especially those of you that understand favor, that you've got favor on your life? Yeah. And if you don't have favor, you want favor. Come on, right? Right? You want favor. You want to exemplify favor. You want to walk in favor. You want to walk in the grace and the glory and the might and the goodness of Jesus Christ. There's something I want to talk about that is so, so important. And it is this, everybody. I want to talk about the subject matter for today, and you can write this down, take a picture, whatever helps you, is dealing with toxic relationships. You say, well, Pastor, why are you dealing with toxic relationships? Because one of the things that favor does is it attracts toxicity. Favor attracts toxic people. It's amazing how that happens, because you would think when you walk in favor, you wouldn't attract nobody but just holy folk, right? You would think you just attract holy folk. That's it, right? You would just, because what? You know, like knows like, right? Right? Game, no game or whatever like that, right? You think you would attract, if you're walking holy and you're walking purified before God, you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're walking in a place that you haven't walked with before, you used to be in darkness, now you've come into the light. And now you would expect and you would suspect that the people that come into your space would have the same ideology and thought process of you. But how many of you know that oftentimes when you're walking in favor, you actually can attract the opposite? It's on assignment to distract you. That's one of the things that toxicity does. People that walk in a toxic realm of life are trying to bring distraction and destruction to you. Distraction and destruction. I'm going to teach, and then we'll see how the Lord's going to lead me here throughout this message. But let's begin here. It is possible you have maybe become a victim of a toxic individual on a continuum. Okay, I'm not talking about one circumstance. I'm talking about on a continuum if you have dealt with some of these things. You all see that picture right there? That's a puppeteering person, because toxic people like to puppeteer people. They like to control people. Amen? Anybody with me this morning? I'm going to help you this morning, I promise you. Listen, you may deal with some of these areas in life if you've been exhausted, if you're frustrated, depressed, deprived, unhealthily dependent, controlled, manipulated. You have been encountered by a toxic individual. And toxic individuals like to bleed on people. Oh, it's going to be real quiet just a little bit, because I'm going to talk about this on both ends. I'm going to talk about the impact of toxic people in your life, And then I'm going to deal with a spirit, a stronghold that happens even in the Christian kingdom, where it is possible, and matter of fact, it's more likely than probable, that there is someone and someone's sitting in the seat and you're toxic. That's not going to get a whole lot of amens. But you will have to evaluate your own place in life, and people become toxic because they get bled on by other toxic people. And you can end up becoming something that you don't want to be, but you've been around it so much it becomes a part of you. Letting go means to come into the realization that some people are a part of your history, but not a part of your destiny. Stop letting people who do so little for you control so much of your mind, feelings, and emotions. It's by Will Smith. Stop letting people who do so little for you control so much of your mind, feelings, and emotions. Some of you are losing sleep over somebody who only has limited space in your life. They're starting to control your emotions, your thought pattern, the way you think, the way you do what you do. Toxic people are narcissists. They're narcissistic. They function in a level of narcissism. What does that mean? An inflated sense of self-importance. They think they're more important than they really are. Some of you may know at least two people like that. Toxic people. Let me help you to identify them. How do you identify people that are narcissistic? They always talk about themselves. They have elaborate fantasies about success and power. Anybody know somebody that's always bigger than what they are? I might be doing this now, but I'm going to be doing this tomorrow. I might be here now, but I'm going to be doing this tomorrow. I might be driving this now, but I'm going to be driving that tomorrow. I might be living here now, but I'm going to be driving that tomorrow. I'll be living here tomorrow. And the attempt, watch this, the attempt is to inflate themselves. They have a superior, they always talk about themselves. Elaborate fantasies about success and power. Number three, they have a superiority complex. Number four, they require constant praise. Some of y'all are identifying people in your space right now. I know. Hopefully they're not next to you. They have a sense of entitlement. They manipulate others. And certainly, last but not least, they struggle with envy and jealousy. It's hard for them to be happy for you. Maybe you know a few people like that. It's just hard for them to celebrate anything good in your life without saying a sidebar. These people function in a narcissistic ideology, the way they go about life. Let me tell you something. Narcissism is very much connected. I call it a sister of the spirit of Jezebel. Ooh-wee. Yeah, let's go there this morning. It's a sister spirit to the spirit of Jezebel and what Jezebel brings to the table. You see there a picture of an image of a Jezebel. You have the darkness on one side. You have the light on the other side. Now, let me make it very clear to you that in searching for a Jezebelic picture, pictures of a woman were the first to pop up. But can I clearly tell you that Jezebel can be in a man as well? Jezebel is not just a female spirit, but Jezebel is a spirit that can run rampant. Matter of fact, runs rampant in the church. Runs rampant. Manipulation. Control. Entitlement in the church. There's a reason why. Let me give you a little backdrop here. I'm not going to extend far on Jezebel, but I want to give you a little bit. She was a female prophetess and a member of the church at Thyatira, who was promoting destructive heresies and leading many into moral compromise. She married a man with no backbone. You would have to read on this on your own time, a man named King Ahaz. Due to her influence, watch this, he did more to provoke the anger of God than any other king before him. Somebody say the power of influence. You've got to check the people who are around you, because you are more than likely to become just as they are. So you've got to have people around you who are empowering you. Watch this. Who are challenging you. Who are forcing you by a lifestyle to go to the next level. Anybody receiving that this morning? The Bible says about Jezebel, talks about in Revelations 2 and 20. I want to give this to you. John had this, this revelation here where the Spirit of the Lord is speaking through him in Revelation. And he's passing judgment on the church. This church happens to be the church, Thyatira, that Jezebel is a member of. It says, but I have this complaint about you, against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. I need to tell you right now that everybody who calls themselves a prophet or a prophetess may not be of God. Your business card doesn't make you a prophet nor a prophetess, amen? But having an ordination from God, the living God, speaks into existence that area that you function in. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Revelations, you all. Therefore, I'll throw her on a bed of suffering. And those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. I know this is heavy right here, everybody. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person. And I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. A word for Jezebel. Because I believe that the Lord is exposing Jezebel in churches all over America, all over the world, because Jezebel has no place in the house of God trying to manipulate and control people. Ooh, I'm going to help you with this message this morning, you all, because that's what she'll do. She'll try to manipulate. She'll try to control people. He'll try to manipulate. He'll try to control people. He will actually try to throw people up. He'll actually try to shift even the atmosphere of very people. The Jezebel spirit will have people turning against you that you didn't do nothing to. You didn't do nothing to them, and now all of a sudden they're turning against you. It's the Jezebel spirit. Oh, I'm going to help you this morning. Let me give you 1 Samuel. If you're getting something, say, I'm getting something. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. Amen. Hey, was that the first scripture that I gave? My wife, the only one awake in here? What in the world? 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. Hallelujah. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. You all know I'm a Bible preacher. I'm going to give you Bible. I want you to study this when we leave today. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. Somebody say loyalty. David had loyalty. He was loyal to Saul. Loyal, had a wonderful relationship with Saul's son, Jonathan. We know David as a warrior, a man after God's own heart. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed. Everybody get this. It was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. Saul is embracing David. He's embracing this appointment. David's a man of war. He's a man of strategy. He's strong. He's mighty. He has his faults like all of us do. But he is chosen, watch this, and anointed and called of God. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all over the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. Here's David. He has killed that big giant, that Philistine, that nefarious nemesis called Goliath. And here it is. The Bible says they sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Everybody see, picture this. Here it is. The women are all gathering, and they're about to sing this praise and worship song. In this praise and worship song, they even got instruments, as the Bible tells us. They begin to sing this song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. It's not a long song. It don't even have a whole lot of verses to it. It's a song that it pierces the heart of Saul. Saul has killed his thousands. David his 10,000s. This message, this made Saul very angry. Watch this. What's this, he said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. This speaks to me clearly about a superiority complex. Matter of fact, it's a dual diagnosis, as to say. He's got a superiority complex, and he's got an inferiority complex. Because what you should be in life is you should want people to actually do better than you, especially people that you mentor and people that become a part of you. Saul was king. You don't need to want anything else. You the king, baby. You the man at the top of the food chain. Why are you jealous of this young buck just because God has given him something that he didn't give you? I don't care what position that you're in. God has given people stuff that are not in your space. Let me tell you, there are people who do similar to what you do and are better than you. Let me just bust that thing. You're not the most brilliant person on the earth that God can't use somebody else. I'll start with me. Believe you me. Something were to happen to me or something, God will call me elsewhere. Believe me, God will send somebody through my pastor and somebody else will come and pastor this church. I'm not the only one that can. I'm the progenitor of this church. Yes, to God be the glory. But I'm to never get so prideful. Hear me, everybody. Never get so proud that, well, they can't do it like me and they can't do it this, that, and the other. Just because they do it differently than you don't mean that it's wrong. So Saul's jacked up, everybody. Good note for you. Narcissists feel small and irrelevant, even in victory. The man clearly had victory. He killed thousands. How's that not victorious? It's not victorious because his protege has killed tens of thousands. And worse yet, the women singing all about it. Now, come on now. If that ain't a today 2019 verse, y'all better get with this thing. This is 2019 all day. Let me tell you, thousands of years ago, men were still being affected and jacked up by women. If the men would have sang that song, Saul wouldn't have had no issue. But there was a few cute honey dips, come on now, that was singing that song that Saul had heard praise from. I'm here now, y'all. I'm here. I'm getting revelatory revelation. There were people who were singing that song who Saul was over and it already said good stuff about him. And so that incited him. It enrioted him to see somebody who was praising him now praising somebody else. But they really weren't praising David. They were just speaking fact. In the sports world, it's not about who scores the TD. It's about the team winning. It's not about who makes the game-winning shot. It's not about that, as what Kawhi Leonard did, I think, in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. He made the game-winning shot. Last time I looked, the whole team was jumping on his back. But see, narcissists and folk that are full of Jezebelism, Jezebelic activity, always about themselves, they have a hard time celebrating victory, even when the victory's for you. Because it's all about you. It's not about nobody else, it's about you, and it's about your world, and it's about manipulating things so that you can control them. Because watch this, and this is gonna hurt somebody, believe you. I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm just speaking the word of God. Last time I looked, the Bible said this word will cut you. Will it not cut you? People who have a hard time receiving no. I see folk looking at folk right now. I see folk looking at people that have a hard time receiving no. That's a spirit. It's a spirit. You can't nobody tell you no. You deal with rejection when you're told no. That's a spirit. That's a part of the narcissism. That's about you. It's about your world. It's about how you want things to go. It's not about order. You don't like order. You want to be the boss. You don't want nobody telling you nothing. I've heard people say more than one time, as have you, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, don't you work at that company? Yeah, but they ain't going to be telling me what to do. But you don't run the company. Yeah, but they ain't going to be telling me what to do. No, they going to tell you what to do. Come on now. And how is it that you could desire to be in a position with you? How can you desire to be in a position such as that when you lack humility? So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. I love that. The very next day, here, watch this, everybody. A tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul. A tormenting spirit from where? From God. This ain't from the devil. A tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul. He began to rave in the house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand. And suddenly he took that spear and he hurled it at David, attempting to pin him against the wall. The same man that you're rocking and rolling with, the same man that you actually overseeing, he's your protege. You in a position of authority in his life. He and your son are cool as cool can be. But all of a sudden, because these women sang this song, you're trying to kill him. Here's what you need to know. Professional spear throwers don't miss. Saul not only tried to kill David once with the spear in this particular text, but he tried to kill him twice. David obviously dodged the spears. Watch this. The dissension against you was framed by what somebody else said about you. The dissension against you. Some of you got some people coming against you. But oftentimes what people are saying against you didn't even start with you. It was framed by what somebody else said. Saul and David, last time I looked, they didn't have no issues with one another as far as some type of argumentative thing going on. This was about what the women said. There's something that comes into play that I promise you everybody in this building has dealt with. It's called the law of second offense. The law of second offense. And so how this happens, come here, Marquita, and come here, Carla. And so how this law of second offense works, everybody, is that, you know, Carla and I, we find we in a good place, just giving this for an example, we in a good place with one another, in good relationship. Husband's amazing, this, that, and the other. Okay, Marquita and I, let's say we have a disagreement. We just have a disagreement, whatever it might be. We have a disagreement. And so that disagreement that Marquita and I, now her and Carla are cool. They real cool. But me and Marquita have this disagreement, right? This not the falling out, just a disagreement. Me and Carla, we cool. But all of a sudden, Marquita tells Carla about what happened between she and I. The law of second offense. Now all of a sudden, Carla is looking at me sideways. It's called the law of second offense. Now she's looking at me sideways. I didn't do nothing to her. The issue that I had was with Marquita, but the issue didn't cause us to really fall out. We just had a disagreement. But now all of a sudden, I'm the devil. And now because they have a relationship, hear me, you all, they have a relationship, so now Carla has turned on me. And anybody who's connected to Carla, they turned on me. You ever walked up to somebody that you thought you was cool with? Come on, am I in the right place this morning? You ever walked up to somebody that you thought they was cool with, and all of a sudden they give you this crazy look, and you're like, what in the world's going on? It's the law of second offense. It's the law of second offense. It didn't have nothing to do with you. But the issue that you had with that individual, all of a sudden they're spreading stuff about you. I want to tell you right now, as I told you before, everybody's not happy for your success. And until we come into the common knowledge of that, I don't know why we get frustrated when people who we thought was going to be happy for us are not happy. It is the nature of people. And I'm trying to get you to have the scales literally fall off your eyes so that you can realize who in your crew is for you and who's against you. Saul was God's chosen vessel to crush David in order to frame his divine destiny. I had to give you that. Saul was chosen. He was God's chosen. Because you're like, why did David have to go through that? Because Saul was God's chosen vessel to crush David in order to frame his divine destiny, which means that part and that path that David is experiencing, he has to go through. It's the way God chooses things to happen in our life. It's not, it oftentimes it's contrary to what we desire, but oftentimes God used it like that. So if you've got a Saul in your life, and I won't ask you to raise your hands, you might be the Saul. But if you've got a Saul in your life, let me help you just a little bit. Number one, refuse to master the art of spear throwing and spear catching. If you've got a Saul in your life, to prevent this Saul from coming forth in your life, refuse to master the art of spear throwing as Saul did and spear catching. Why? Because if you catch it, you're going to throw it back. It happens on social media all the time. All the time. Somebody say something about you, you at so-and-so, you're saying something back. It happens all, even in the Christian world, all the time. Do not keep company with spear throwers. Know the folk around you that's always talking about you. Matter of fact, let me say that a different way. If people that you are in your space, hear me, always talking about somebody, I can guarantee you when you're not around, oh, but that's my girl. Your girl. She's talking about somebody else that y'all hang with. So when you're not around, she's saying the same stuff about you. When you're not around, he's saying the same stuff about you. What am I telling you about that? I'm saying they're toxic. And if you're a person that loves talking about people, you're toxic. Why would you waste your breath always talking about people? Always got something to say. Something good happened to somebody's life, you got something negative to say. Guess what, everybody? And it happens a lot in family. Oh, man. Oh, can somebody give me a hootie hoo or what right there? It happens so much in family. Family jealousy. Family resentment. Family issues between brother and sister, between sister and sister, between brother and brother, between daughter and mother, between father and son. Issues of dissension. Literally trying to break up the very presence of God. But that's how the devil don't play fair. Learn to duck, number three. Is that a good word? Learn to duck. Learn to duck. Sometimes you just got to learn to duck. You just got to learn. David learned to duck. He just learned to duck. You got to. Somebody, lean on somebody and say, get out the way. Move. Matter of fact, hit him with a rap song. Move. Get out the way. Okay, y'all don't know that. Y'all don't know that. Y'all too holy to know that. Y'all ain't never heard that. No. Learn to duck. I can tell when a person's been hit by a spear because they turn a deep shade of bitter. A couple of statements people say when they bitter. All men are dogs. You bitter, girl. You ain't looking at no dog. Not all men. All men that you date are dogs. You choosing the wrong people. That's what's happening. But you can't equate all men to the issues that you having with your man. He's a dog, and you need to get rid of him. But all men ain't dogs. The same thing on the other side with all women are this, all women are that. Y'all know people just make blanket statements without any education whatsoever. All the church want is money. You bitter. What do you mean? Oh, you mean all the church want is money. You don't say that when you go to a restaurant. You don't say that. Oh, so now that I'm full, y'all want me to have to pay for this. Yeah. Church is the same way. Come on now. You come in here, we want you to get full, and we want you to sow into the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of y'all have said this, oh, well, we know how he or she got to the top. Yeah, they got promoted, but yeah, we know how they got there. Just putting stuff out there on people. Just saying simple, quiet innuendo. Innuendo is of the devil. I'm telling you, it's just poison. It is nasty. It is not of God. Why did David duck and refuse to enter into physical engagement? Let me help you. Saul was to David unbroken authority, but divine in ordination. You're going to have to let that sink in. Saul was to David, he was unbroken, meaning that the Lord had actually placed somebody in David's space who was unbroken authority, who actually functioned. Now, I don't have enough time to go into it all, but Saul didn't start out that way. You got to read your Bible. Saul didn't start out that way. Saul actually started out, Saul was saying, I'm the least of these. When he was chosen to be king, he said, I'm the least of these. He said, I come from a family of nothings. See, something happens along the way in people's life that changes them. He was unbroken authority, but he was divine in ordination, meaning God had actually called him to function as he did. Now, that's messed up. That is so challenging to us that God would actually call somebody who would seem, it just seems contrary. It just, but how many of you all know God's ways defy logic? I asked you this question a little bit earlier, and I'm going to ask you again. Is it possible that you might be toxic? Is it possible that what I'm talking about in these initial moments, that this is actually you? Is it possible that you have been poisoned and tainted because of where you've been, where you've come from, and who you've been around? You, as I have seen people who were at one time humble, full of humility, and then all of a sudden, they shifted and they changed seemingly overnight. And oftentimes, that's as a result of a bad relationship. And it doesn't have to be spousal relationship. It can be friend relationship. And all of a sudden, it changes you. Am I helping anybody this morning? I want to talk about Jonah real quick. I want to show you this here in Jonah. In Jonah 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, happened to be the largest city in the world at that time, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here's the Lord giving this word to Jonah. He says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. Watch this. It's very important. Underline it, circle it, whatever you do in your Bible. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, watch this, from the presence of the Lord. He chose to flee, say that with me, from the, say that with me again. He chose to flee. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, again, from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah is going west when he should be going east. He's going as far as he can away from the direction of God. He's fleeing from the presence of God. Somebody say the presence. The presence of God is not everywhere. The ability of God to be present is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. We know he is that, yes. But hear me, God is not welcomed everywhere. There are places that God is not welcomed. And if he's not welcome, you have chaos. Heard Eileen talking earlier about the presence. I think you were talking about your husband. Was that your husband? Who was that you were talking about being in a place and there'd be no suicides and stuff like that? That was Myron. Myron, yeah. Because that was all about presence. That was all about presence. I've taught you that over the years, that your presence matters. What you carry, the weight of glory that is upon you, it matters when you enter in into a place. So watch this. The presence of God lies in his divine direction. The presence of God. So God gives direction to each of us. And his presence lies in divine direction. So you following God ensures the presence remains. It ensures that. What happens with our friend Jonah? He jumps on this ship headed to Tarshish. All of a sudden, he jumps on this boat, and there is a violent windstorm that arises. The Bible calls it a tempest. A tempest arises, starts beating against the ship. These men are terrified on the ship because there are men headed to Tarshish that just work there. They're actually doing their work. They got cargo on there. When the waters begin to beat on this ship, the captain, he goes to the sailors and he says, listen, I need everybody to begin to pray to your gods. Begin to pray to your gods and see what in the world is going on. They begin to pray to their gods. Nothing happens. There's still this violent windstorm that's hitting this ship. Hear me, everybody. This is something that the sailor has never experienced. The captain has never experienced something like this. He begins to look around the ship, and he finds Jonah. He finds a castaway. And the castaway is, guess what? He's asleep. Because isn't it like people to come on your boat and cause all kinds of chaos and act like they ain't did nothing? Am I talking to anybody in this place right now? How in the world can you sleep with all of this storm happening? The captain goes down there and he tells Jonah, he says, arise, the Bible says. He basically says, get up, man. All of this storm going on, this, that, and the other. Listen, you need to start to pray to your God. See, they're all at a place. They all serving different gods. They in different faces and places of life. He tells Jonah, he says, listen, start praying to your God. Well, Jonah gets up. Matter of fact, the captain says, you know what? He goes to his sailors. He says, you know what? I'm feeling funny about what's going on. We need to cast lots, cast lots, cast lots. Casting lots was a way to hear the will of God, will of God. Old Testament, even New Testament. Hear me, though. Old Testament, they cast lots. New Testament, they cast lots. Why? They cast lots. Some of you all remember when Judas was hanged, they had to pick another disciple. When they picked that disciple's name was Matthias. They cast lots. Now, cast lots was pre-Pentecost, pre-Pentecost, pre the ascending of Jesus and the descending of Holy Spirit. So now we don't have to cast lots. Now we don't have to look at a calendar. Now we don't have to now we don't have to look at a horoscope. Casting lots was not looking at a horoscope, but what I'm saying, we too much depend on carnal things to find out the will of God. I don't know about you, but I'm so happy I can call upon Holy Spirit at any point in time, at any place, at any moment, and I can hear direction from God. Is anybody receiving that this morning? They're throwing stuff off the ship, you all. All of a sudden, the captain, they begin to talk to Jonah, and they say, man, where you from? Where you from? Because we done prayed to our gods, and ain't nothing happening. This storm is really bad. So you need to tell us where you from. Jonah begins to say, I'm a Hebrew, and I serve the living God. They immediately begin to realize that, man, this dude is the reason why this storm. But watch this, everybody. Watch this. But then they realize that they threw good cargo in the water. They threw stuff off the ship to lighten the ship because they didn't realize what the problem was. So they're throwing stuff off the ship, lightening the ship, when they realize that it's not the cargo, it's actually Jonah. Lean on somebody and say, I fired the wrong friend. I fired the wrong friend. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because you still got all this hell going in your life. See, sometimes we don't know who we're getting rid of. You got rid of the wrong person. It wasn't that individual was the problem. It's the individual that you're still with. The boat is empty. All the cargo's off. What happens? Jonah begins to say, you know what? They like, man, what in the world's going on? This violent storm is hitting the ship. And Jonah says something so phenomenal and fascinating, I would hope that any man, woman, or child in this building would do it. Jonah then lifts his hand and he says, guess what, men? I'm the problem. I'm the problem. Watch this. I'm under divine direction from God going the wrong way. And because I'm going the wrong way, I have brought hostility and harm on all of y'all. One person in your crew disobeying God can throw everything off. So Jonah says, I'm the problem. Or as the title of the message said, he says, I'm toxic. It's on me. So what's Jonah? The man asked Jonah, he said, well, what are we to do? Jonah says, throw me in. Yeah, throw me in the water. The man looked at him and said, nah, man, we can't throw him in the water. The Bible says they began to row harder. They began to row harder, man. He's like, nah, we can't throw him in. But the harder they rowed, the better the storm got. See, you're trying to hold on to some people that you just got to get rid of. Sometimes you got to do it quietly and silently. Sometimes you just quietly, you ain't got to throw them under the bus. You ain't got to tweet about it. You ain't got to Facebook about it. You ain't got to do none of that. You got to just say, you know, sometimes you just got to be a grown man or a grown woman, for those of you who are grown in here, and just saying, listen, I love you, but we can't roll. We can't roll. I love you. I love you. I'm going in a different direction. I don't know how. The Bible says, how can two people walk together unless they agree? I don't understand how you can walk with somebody who does not have the same processing and the same mindset of you. You know, and listen, if you're a person that's going after your education, you're trying to get an MBA, a BA, you're trying to get your MS, you're trying to get your PhD, you're trying to do the MIT thing. When you got big dreams in your life, you cannot be around dream killers. You cannot keep company with people who are sapping your dream. Why are you going to do that? Why would you want to do that? You're doing all right now. Listen, no. You cannot have those people in your space. I didn't say don't love them, but love them from a distance. Am I talking to anybody this place right now? Love them from a distance. And that's everything. You want to be a person that is of great fruit. You want to be a person that's speaking life, not death. You want to be a person that experiences joy, not harm. We all go through hard stuff, everybody. All of us. But you want to be a person that's speaking life into the situation, life into difficult situations, life, not death. And so that means that there has to be a shift. Somebody say shift. Yeah. Throw me into the sea. We can't throw you into the sea, man. We ain't not trying to kill you. The water gets rougher than it's ever been. They look at Jonah and they say, brother, you got to go. It's either us or you. Throw me into the ship. They throw him off the boat into the water. We know what happens. It's a Romans 8:28. It really is. The Lord has arranged for a fish to be there to swallow Jonah. That's just God's stuff. That's just God's stuff. That's all things working out for our good. That's a bad situation, actually God setting something up. But that's something that God set up based upon repentance. Somebody say repentance. An acknowledgement of making a bad decision. And we've all made bad decisions. I won't even ask you to lift your hands if you made a bad decision and called catastrophe to come to your life. I know I've made them. I know I've made bad decisions in my past, and it caused catastrophe to come to my life. And I remember one of the great revelations, and this was me and my wife years ago, years ago. And this wasn't about no foolishness. This was just about a bad decision that I had made, money, this, that, and the other. And I remember going to my wife, and I just said, you know what? It's on me. Man, that was hard to do. That was hard to do. It was hard to do. I said, babe, I said, it's on me. I said, you know what? I messed up. I made a mistake. I thought this, that, and the other. Because she was giving me information all along the way. But y'all know how men can be sometimes. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Now, I hear the women like, yeah. All the men like. Y'all know how we can be men, right? I don't hear no fellas talking to me. Does the fellas know how we can be? We can be hard-headed. We can be hard-headed, guys. We can. I'm the man, and this, that, and the other. I make the decisions, and blah, 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 blah. You can get into all that. I just went to my wife. I said, you know what? I jacked up. I basically told her like Jonah. I said, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. And you know what she did? She looked at me, and she said, you're right. No, she did. She said, no. She said, yeah. She said, you are the problem. She said, you're the problem, and you made bad decisions. And she said, your bad decisions has gotten this family into a very tough spot. This is me and her talking. One of the hardest conversations I've ever had with her. She looked at me dead in the eyes. Your decisions has got us in a very bad spot. Your decisions. She said, but then she wrapped it like this. She wrapped it with velvet. Not with spikes. Wrap it with velvet, not spikes. She looked at me and she said, but I believe in you. And listen, she said, but I believe in you. She said, you got us in this. She said, but with God's help in your direction, you're going to get us out. She wrote me a little letter. I remember she wrote me a little note, put it on a sticky, put it on the mirror in one of the restrooms, the old place we used to live in. And she wrote, you remember that? She put it on the mirror or something like that. And I just read that, man. I just wept. You just have to realize when you've made mistakes, everybody. We live in a society. Let me just teach. We live in a society that people don't want to take responsibility for the bad decisions that you make. Listen, if you made a bad decision, if you're married, you made a bad decision. If you're single, you made a bad decision. Just say you made a bad decision. Bottom line. Nobody's going to hang you or anything like that. But stop being so arrogant and acting like you ain't do nothing wrong. If you was wrong, you wrong. You shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have been there. You made a bad decision with the money because you were listening to the wrong people. You said you was done gambling, but you're still gambling on football games. Boy, it just got real quiet right there, Wes. Did you hear that? You said they got real quiet. Somebody say breakthrough. We know God set Jonah up. I want to begin to round home here. Let me give you this note. It's very important. It says, we can become influenced by our own ignorance. The Bible says that there is wisdom where? In the multitude of counselors. You need people around you who have wisdom, everybody, who have knowledge, who know more than you do. I've told you in times past, if you're the smartest person in your crew, you need to find a new crew. You shouldn't be the smartest person. You really shouldn't. You should aspire to have people in your space that have actually achieved more than you have. Proverbs 3 and 5, it goes right with this Jonah scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not, what? Into your... In all your ways, what? And he shall what? He shall direct your path. We quote it, but we got to live it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything you do, you acknowledge who Jesus is. Everything. And he shall direct your path. I won't make you raise your hand. But some of you would say, and it's going to be a part of the altar call, is that you feel as though you're not on the right path. You feel like that you just headed off the wrong path. You know, now listen, issues and problems don't mean that you off path. But you do have to be adherent to the voice of God and not be disobedient to the voice of God. One disobedient gesture can throw everything off. And here's what I've said, and I'm really talking to grown folk now. I've said over my life over the last number of years, especially I probably when I turned 40, but I think it hit me more when I turned 45. I said, you know what? And 45, I'm 48 now. That's not old, by the way. That's not old. Y'all know that. Not old to me, right? Right. Not right. But what I said, and this will help you, is that the older I get, the longer it takes to recover from mistakes. The older you get, the longer it takes to recover. Doesn't mean that you can't recover, but it often takes longer to recover. See, sometimes you can make bad decisions in your 20s, and if God gives you grace, and you can clean that stuff up. But then as you get in your 40s and your 50s and your 60s and things like that, it becomes more of a challenge. I'm not speaking anything negative. Certainly you can recover from it, no question. But it takes a little bit longer. But the one thing is that you ought to be gaining as you get older is wisdom. What I found in my Christian life, and I'll celebrate 20 years saved, like really saved. I'll celebrate 20 years really saved in December. Because it was 1999 when I gave my life back to Jesus. And I celebrate 20 years. What I found is that people, just because they get older doesn't mean that they're wiser. Because I've been around people who are in their 60s that's still mad about stuff that happens when they were six. Still talking about stuff that happened when they were six. People in their 50s talking about stuff that they were when they was a teenager. People in their 50s married, mad at a dude because he married their high school sweetheart. It's called a lack of maturity. It's called an inability to grow. It's called being toxic. Let me finish here as Stephen begins to play. One of the fascinating things about Jesus is that Jesus actually chose a toxic man to roll with. It blows my mind here in Luke 6, where Jesus goes out on the mountain to pray. Say pray. Now this is Jesus, everybody, the Lamb of God. He goes out on the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer. And when it was day, he called his disciples, because there were more than 12. He called his disciples to himself, the Bible says. Then he named them, he called Simon, whose also name is Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Matt, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and you know this particular gentleman, Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. I don't know about you, but it blows my mind that Jesus would intentionally choose a toxic man to help to push the promise of God over his life. One of the clear reasons why I know Jesus chose Judas, and we know the Bible speaks textually on what the particular steps that occurred in life, but one of the reasons that this occurred is to help us. Is to help us in even how we walk, even when we walk in with negative people. Because do you all remember that when Jesus actually told the disciples, he said, one of y'all going to betray me. One of y'all going to betray me. And then he said this. He said, it's he who dips his bread with me. Which marked to me that Judas was sitting right next to him. Right next to him, a man who would betray him. But Jesus teaches us how to walk in integrity, how to walk in love, how to walk in honor, how to walk with somebody who you clearly know. Some of you walking with people who are going to betray you. Some of you got people in your space that they're going to betray. It's not if, it's when. They're going to betray you. As Jesus allowed Judas, you know, this was all on him. He let him go about doing what he, matter of fact, you all remember Judas in the garden. He told soldiers, he said, do what y'all going to do. Do what y'all going to do. Expedite this. It's time. It's time. It's time for me to now go to another level. Maybe it is that you have a Judas in your life. Maybe you've got a Saul in your life. Maybe you're this person that's toxic as Jonah was. And maybe you're at a place right now where you're just saying, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm the problem. I've been poisoned. I've been bled upon. I've been leaked upon. I've been around people who have not favorably helped me to advance. Maybe that's who you are in this place today. Stand to your feet all over the building. You know, the most challenging thing about having toxic people in your life, one of the most challenging things for us as individuals, is realizing you picked them. You picked them. Because betrayal always happens with people who are very close to you. It always happens like that. You all know. Betrayal doesn't hurt when you barely know the person. You don't even know them. They don't know nothing about you. But when betrayal happens with somebody that you spent time with, come on now. When you have spent time with, maybe you prayed with, maybe you shared things with, when it happens, man, that cuts deep. It's a setup from God. Lift your hands all over the building. I want to minister to those of you who pray, our altar team. I want you to just come forth and just position yourselves. If you're in a difficult place, here's the altar call. You're in a place, you're in difficult relationships. You're just in a difficult space right now. And these relationships that you're in have influenced you negatively. Matter of fact, who here would say that I've experienced that? I'm experiencing that now. I'm in just some relationships that are affecting me the wrong way. The wrong way. You've lifted your hand, you raised your hand this morning. I want you to come down to the altar. I want our altar workers to begin to pray with you. You lifted your hand, you know who you are. See, I'm in a difficult space right now. Listen, you have to be honest. You say, you know what? I don't have healthy relationships. I don't have healthy relationships in my life, and they have improperly influenced me. And I've made some decisions that I'm not proud of. Thank you so much for coming forward. Man with a man, woman with a woman, if we can do it. Honey, you can come and join me. Thank you so much. Come quickly. Don't look around. Don't worry about who's around you. You know who you are. You say, you know what? That's the space of life that I'm in right now. I got some negative influencers in my space. Just continue to come down. And one and the same, maybe you're the person that has just been so negatively impacted that a part of that has tried to literally become a stronghold in your life. It's become a stronghold. All that means is that you can't shake this thing. It's just so difficult to shake it emotionally, mentally, spiritually, even financially. Just having a tough time shaking this thing. I want you to come down to this altar. Thank you, man of God. You all can begin. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. As these men come down to this altar, thank you, Pastor Mike. Yes, Lord.
Strength like no other.
Come on, Mario. Right here. Thank you, sir. Listen, the Holy Spirit just begins to speak to you. When you feel a nudge, it's Holy Spirit. That's what that is. If some of you kind of got weights on your feet, it's Holy Spirit. If you're in a battle, in a place in life, when it comes to your relationships, I want to pray for you. I want you to come to this altar. So I'm just in a bad space right now. These relationships have not helped. They become toxic. And a part of that is that toxicity has attached to you.
Reaches to me. You are my strength. Strength
yes,
like no other. Strength like no other.
Yes, Lord.
It reaches to me. You are my strength, yes. Strength
yes,
like no
strength
other.
Like no other.
Strength like
yes,
no
God.
Other.
Strength like no other.
He reaches
to me.
You are my strength.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
He
reaches to me.
Listen, if you are a victim of scars from a relationship that you've been through, I want you to come down to this altar. You're a victim. You're a victim. You've been in a very difficult relationship. This could be spousal. It could be just simply relational. But that's another area I want to intercede and pray for you. You've been in a relationship and you've been scarred from it. You've been wounded and you're carrying those wounds. We serve a God of deliverance. Hear me. If you do not get healed from those wounds, you will wound other people. You will. So you must be delivered from that place of hurt and of pain and of shame.
In the fullness of your grace, in the power of
thank you so much. Thank you. Thank
name,
you. Thank you. Just come forth.
You lift me up.
Believe me, it's the Lord. As difficult as it is, and I know it is,
lift me
it takes
up.
Courageous men and women. I know it's difficult, and I know it's a challenge, but God wants to heal you. God wants to see you continue to grow.
Your name, you lift me up.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Thank you. Still coming down.
You lift me up in the fullness of your grace.
In the fullness of your grace.
In the power of your name, oh, you lift me up. Oh, you lift me up.
You lift me up.
In the fullness of your
grace. In the fullness of your grace.
In the power of your name. Oh, you lift me up. Oh, you lift me up.
You lift me up.
You are my strength.
You are.
say, Father God, I desire healthy and whole relationships. Father God, if I have become toxic, cleanse me thoroughly from the hurt and the pain I've experienced. Father God, if I have people around me who have become toxic, expose them, but pray for them, cover them, and release them from that place of toxicity in the name of Jesus. Because as a Christian man or woman, we're not praying any negativity on anybody. We want folk to be healed and delivered and strengthened. Because some of you all are experiencing, hear me, we're going to close. Some of you all are experiencing toxic relationships with people that you love. You love them. You do anything for them. But the space that y'all are both in right now is just not healthy. The best thing you can do is retreat for a season and have a conversation with God. And you got to seek wisdom, as the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors. But then you've got to go back to, I'm talking about those of you who are dealing with scars with people that you're close to, spouses, deep-rooted friends, deep-rooted family members. You can't let that thing just ride out there. You got to deal with it. Somebody say, deal with it. You got to deal with it, everybody. I hope I'm helping somebody today. You got to deal with this thing, or this thing will fester, it'll rot in you, and it'll sit in you, and then what'll happen is that you'll start giving what you got. Hallelujah. Marinate upon a number of passages and scriptures I taught today. May you be encouraged and empowered as you walk throughout this season and your day, whether you're here or whether you're watching here today live and or will see this afterward. I know God wants us to have healthy relationships in our lives. Amen, amen, amen. Well, listen, lift your hands all over the building. Hopefully I will see you Wednesday night for Bible study. And we're just a few weeks away from the homecoming, from the homecoming. Matter of fact, my son had homecoming and stuff last night, and I know that that's kind of that time of year. I'm so thinking about this homecoming on October 20th. I'm almost thinking it like, man, we might like dress up for that Sunday. I might like dress up. I'm literally calling it the homecoming. I had somebody the other day come to me and say, let's do a hat day. Now, my mother would love that. She would love a hat day. We'd do a hat day and all that because my mother and Pam and Tamara, I mean, y'all clean today. Y'all clean. I see the hats out there. I see the hats representing in the building. Oh, Mary, boy, come on now. Yeah, I see it. But we're going to do something special. We're going to do something special on that October 20th. So it's going to be the homecoming. What'd you say, baby? You don't want to do nothing special? Oh, okay. Why are you laughing? About the hats. You going to wear your hat too? She said, stop it. But it's going to be the homecoming on that day. And so we may, I'm really thinking about that. You can dress up, stuff like that, and just be real clean for that first day home. Amen? That sound good, everybody? Just something I'm really, really thinking about, praying about. I have a definite probably by next Sunday so you can prepare and stuff. You ain't got to go buy nothing new. You don't have to do that. But then you can just kind of put something on really, really nice on that Sunday. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hands up, eyes open, don't close your eyes. Not praying for you, I'm speaking the blessing. Bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. Bless you coming, and I bless you going. Bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That's God intended for your very purpose. I bless this season in your life. Somebody say it's my best season. I bless your relationships right now in the name of, may you have healthy, vibrant, power influencing relationships in your life that take you to that next level. I bless your homes, your jobs, your finances. I bless you socially, emotionally, certainly spiritually. I bless you existentially. Tell you each and every week, God is an amazing God. He's given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live this life according to his plan. Be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what? hug somebody around you, give them a high five.